It got into the end of that performance, and I had this thought. I know that for many people, it's a time of great joy and family reunion. But for many other people, it's some of the darkest days of their life. You know that the number one day or the day that has the highest amount of heart attacks is on Christmas Day. It's during this time that people have the failures of life confront them in the face. There's divorce and abuse and drugs and all the kinds of things that go along and cause many people to have a season of not joy, but a season of anguish. It's with this thought in mind this morning that I wanted to tell the story, the untold story of one of the great biblical characters that never gets spoken about much. It's actually the stepfather, the human father of Jesus. His name is Joseph. They've never built a denomination around him. There's very little actually said of him. When they show the Christmas story, Joseph never has a line. You know, little kids in the plays, and Joseph never says anything because the Bible never records Joseph saying anything. And this morning we're going to look at the story, his story, from the biblical account that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 through 25. But if you look at the very beginning of this chapter, you will see in this first book of the New Testament, you will see the genealogy of Jesus. Each of those names, each of those begats represent a generation and a story. God's story, working in the hearts and lives of his people. I want you to stand with me this morning in the honor of reading God's word. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse number 18. And the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they became together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.'" Everyone say Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." Here's my big idea this morning. The mystery days, or the dark days of life, are designed for my good and ultimately for his glory. The young man that was in the middle this morning doing the beatbox, his name is Cody Hallam, and he's come all the way from Fort Huachuca. He is one of our own boys here. He's in the United States Army, and he came home, surprised his family yesterday. Can we give Cody Hallam a great big hand as we welcome him this morning? God bless the United States Army. God bless Cody Hallam. I love Cody. This morning, our country is in great turmoil. Last week, we joined together as we prayed with 25,000 church families across America as we prayed for Black Lives Matter. This morning, yesterday evening, when I read the story of the two police officers that were executed by this cowardly man, my heart went out to those families. And today, we're going to pray for the police officers that are represented in our church here. But the fact is, police life matters. And God has created authority. And without authority in our nation and our land, we have total chaos. In our church here this morning, we have four officers that are represented. On your far left-hand corner, that's Officer Rich Santos. He's an Orange County sheriff. Over here on your far right, we have a brand new newlywed couple who actually got married last Sunday. That's Tim Stewart and his beautiful wife, Dominique. And Tim Stewart represents the Castleberry Police Department. On your bottom right hand, that's Officer Gary Richard. He's a former associate pastor here at City Church. And then over on your left, we have our own Seminole County Sheriff Department Community Service Officer, Roger Salvo. There might be others in our church, but these are the four that I know. We're going to pray for these men and their families, but we're also going to pray for the police officers in our community and our nation and pray for peace, the Prince of Peace in the light of Jesus. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. The gospel has the answer for the race problem in America. Jesus said we were to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The gospel loves one another. The gospel serves one another. The gospel prefers one another. And these kind of heinous acts do nothing but further drive a wedge of division and hatred and discord in our nation. We will stand against that. We stand for peace. We stand for life in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Father, I pray for these families that are represented right here in our own church that represent law enforcement. You designed law enforcement. It was created and designed for you to bring peace and protection to a people. And so we pray for these men that have said yes to you. Pray for the women in our community that have said yes to you to serve our communities. God, they're faced with a daunting challenge in a generation of ours where there's so much hatred and so much anger. And God, I pray for peace. Pray for our peace in our nation. Pray for those two families yesterday that were brutally murdered by this cowardly act. I pray for peace, Lord, in the city of New York. God, we're asking right now for your grace, the grace that only you can bring. We ask for it in our nation. Lord, we want to say thank you today. Thank you for this amazing work that you are doing in our lives. The message of grace and hope to our generation. You are the God of love, and we love you, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. The sound was deafening. Although there was no one near enough to hear it, ultimately it echoed around the world. None of the 53 passengers in this DC-4 ever knew what happened. They died instantly. That was February 15th, 1947. 53 people lost their lives, the largest aviation accident in history to that point. Aviation airline flight bound for Ecuador crashed into the 14,000-foot peak of El Tablazo, just outside of Bogota, Colombia. Then it dropped into a flaming mass and started a huge forest fire. One of the victims was a young New Yorker named Glenn Chambers. He had planned to be in ministry and serve the Voice of the Andres. Before leaving the Miami airport earlier that day, Chambers had written a note to his mother on a piece of paper that he'd found on the airline terminal floor. The paper was a piece of advertisement with the single word imprinted in the middle, why. In a hurry and preoccupied, he scribbled his note around the word, he folded it, and he stuffed it into the envelope addressed to his mother. The note arrived after the news of his death. When his mother received it, there staring at her was that haunting question, why? Charles Swindoll says, of all questions, this is the most searching, the most tormenting. It accompanies every tragedy. It falls from the lips of every mother who delivers a stillborn, the wife who learns of her husband's tragic death, the child who is told daddy won't be coming home anymore, the struggling father of five who loses his job, the close friend who commits suicide. Why? Why me? Why now? Why this? Nothing can fully prepare us for such moments in life. For thoughts, few thoughts can steady us afterwards. But perhaps there is one. The mystery days of life are designed for my good, but ultimately, His glory. When we look at the life of Joseph, he had that possibility to ask the question why. But the reality is today, when we look at one of these heroes of the faith, this untold story, we find that that's not the question that he asks. I want you to look this morning, when we look at Joseph's life, we see that Joseph has a shocking discovery. The fact is, this woman that he is betrothed to becomes pregnant before they are married. Now, in Joseph's generation, Joseph was a Jew that lived 2,000 years ago. He was a devout man. He was a follower of the law of Moses. And he and Mary, they both believed the scriptures. And the reality today is that this should have been a time of great excitement. This should have been a time of great expectation as they were planning their marriage. But as a matter of fact, that's not what happened. It potentially became a day of great embarrassment.
I mean, I love it at City Church. I love when couples get married. I love when I hear that a couple is getting engaged and making an announcement. We have several couples here that are in that process. One of the young girls the other day was handing out Save the Date cards, and she was so excited. And I see their pictures on Facebook, and I rejoice with them. I love to see God bringing a couple together. It's like a child, a couple, they get married and they're preparing for their first child. It just brings great joy. But in Joseph's generation, when Mary was found to be pregnant, this was not a time of excitement. This was a time of embarrassment. Because according to the law, Joseph knew that he was not the father. Joseph knew that he was not the one that had sexual intimacy with Mary in order for her to become pregnant. And he had to take this incredible leap that this was of something supernatural. This embarrassing moment in Joseph's life really had some tough things, had some tough questions. How could something like this happen? Can you imagine trying to explain this to your family? Well, yeah. Right. Isn't that just like life at times? Things happen in our life unexpected, unexplained. We have no answer, no solution. What do you do when things don't work out in your life? What do you do when things don't work out in your life? What's your response? Get mad at God? Blame someone or your situation? Quit the church or become de-churched? As many are calling it today. My experience in life has been that the dark moments of our lives, we want to search the depths of the why did this happen or why did God allow this to me? But the Bible is clear on this matter. Our God works in His will in our lives in ways that we can never completely comprehend. The prophet Isaiah said it like this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens, our heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What I want you to see about Joseph's life is he never gets into the why mode. He simply gets into the what am I going to do mode. What do I need to do? See, he was confronted with this very embarrassing situation, and he had a sobering decision that he needed to make. Joseph had several choices at his disposal. You see, the law said that if you were engaged to someone and they had sexual intimacy with someone else and conceived in pregnancy, that person should be stoned. Joseph could have brought shame to Mary. He could have drug her before the elders and the leaders of his community and said, "Look what this woman did." And the law required that she would be stoned. And even if they wouldn't have stoned her, she would have been shunned and shamed and left alone to raise a child. And in Joseph's generation, a single mother was destitute and bound to poverty and brokenness along with her child. He could have done that. He could have just said, "You know what, I'm going to divorce her, put her away, not talk about it again, out of my life, on to the next thing." Or he could have chose to marry Mary. He could have chose to marry Mary and take that son as his own. I mean, these are not easy decisions. Not easy decisions. His choices would not only affect Mary, but the child that was about to be born. So what kind of filter do you use when you have these kinds of things happen in your life? What's your filter today? One of our filters as followers of Jesus is, what's the compassionate thing? What's the compassionate thing to do? It's not an eye for an eye. What's the compassionate thing to do? What's the kind thing to do? What's the merciful thing to do? What would you want someone to do for you? When we look at Joseph's life, what we see, this nature of Joseph is one of compassion. The Bible actually says that being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, not wanting to make her a public example. He could have put her away secretly and just went on with his life. Here's the deal, guys. Joseph was a just man. And people who love God have the compassion of God. God is merciful and slow to anger, not willing that anyone should perish. But here's the deal. Being compassionate doesn't mean we still don't have to make tough choices about our relationships and people that we love. Being compassionate doesn't mean that you still don't have to make tough choices about those relationships. The Bible says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. If your heart is right with God and you're not running from the tough issues of your life, I believe you will not miss the will of God. I don't believe you will. Because I believe that in the dark moments of your life, you will have a supernatural perspective. I believe that. I believe that God does speak to his people. The Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Mary, your wife, will bring forth a son. The fact is that God does speak to Joseph. Now, I don't know about you. I've been in the way for 31 years. I have never personally encountered an angel as far as I know. But Joseph did. That just because you won't encounter an angel, maybe, you will encounter a supernatural experience of God. You will. Because God speaks to his own. God always sends divine messages to us. God sends people to us, people of faith who are full of the Word. God will use the Scriptures to speak to you today. God will maybe even use prophetic dreams or words of encouragement. In my life, God has used songs and friends and messages, circumstantial direct things that have come into my path that have directed my steps. He'll even use your parents. How about that for a novel idea? 1986, the summer, August of 1986, I came home from a semester of school and I brought a friend with me. This young lady was a nice person and I liked her, but I remember after I brought her to my family and after a couple of days of being there, my father asked to see me upstairs. And my father and our relationship, I had never really taken a lot of his advice and our relationship had been strained for many years and God was restoring that relationship. And my father asked me to go upstairs with him. And as I made my way upstairs with my father, I sat on the edge of his bed and he asked me one question. He said, "Son, do you intend on marrying this young lady?" And I looked at him in the eye and I said, "No, Dad, I have no intention of marrying her." He said, "Son, you need to break the relationship off." I had a moment of wit come about me and I thought, my dad has a word of wisdom for me. And I took it as a word from God. And I immediately went and I broke that relationship off. I am so thankful that I did. Because when I went back to school the next year, in 1987 or whatever year that was, I went back, I met the love of my life. I met the woman that God had designed for me, the most incredible, beautiful, smart, talented. Her name was Laura Jean Loy, and she now is my wife for life. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Job says God speaks again and again, though people don't recognize it. See, God always sends a message to encourage us in the dark seasons of life. God's message to the angel Joseph was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Over 100 times in the Bible, God tells his people, fear not, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Moses, when he was leading the children of Israel, and they were looking into their future, and it didn't look very bright to them, and they were full of fear. He says these words, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Then do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." God does give us a clear revelation. God gives us a clear revelation. First, he's going to give you a clear revelation of the person Jesus. This thing is all about Jesus. It is Christmas. Christmas is all about the person of Jesus. No matter how much the White House or the courthouse or some other house tries to sanitize and whitewash the message of Christmas, the message of Christmas has always been about Jesus. Jesus, it is about Jesus. Paul the Apostle declared, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Come on, give Jesus a hand this morning. We not only get a revelation of the person of Jesus, but we also get a revelation of the purpose of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The revelation of the purpose of Jesus to save you, to deliver you, to fill your life full of hope and purpose. But it was also a revelation of His promise. The promise that He would be Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, the hope of Israel and of the nations. Emmanuel, God with us. Not only did Jesus come to save us from our sins, not only do we need that revelation today, we need a revelation of a God that is always with us and will never leave us. He's always with us and He'll never leave us. You know, it's really cool. This is how you see the character of Joseph. But the moment that the angel speaks and he wakes up from this dream, the Bible says that he immediately got up and he took Mary and married her, and she became his wife. And then he gets the really cool honor of giving Jesus his name. The Bible says, and he named him Jesus. Joseph named him Jesus. Can you imagine the honor of naming? I mean, choosing a name for your child, but to get the name the Christ child. What a great honor. His story is told this morning. You see, the fact is today, it is in the great mysteries of life that Joseph's encounter was truly designed for his good and ultimately for his glory. Your day, your month, your year may have been very dark, shrouded in the mystery of why. But today I want you to know that your light has come. Your light has come. And His name is Jesus. Our candle this morning is the candle of love. And we're going to light that candle in just a moment. And I want the ushers and those who are going to help light the candle this morning, we're going to pass, if you already have them,